Wow. We could do this all night. Amen. Tex wrote. Raise your hand, Tex. Go ahead and stand. This is Tex. And he says, Jesus takes care of me and answers prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tex. Everybody say hi, Tex. They know Tex. Yes. And your wife as well there. Praise the Lord. Wow. My heart is overflowing. How about yours? Amen. This is good. 3 weeks together. Revival. Revival. God did this, not Mark Fox. God did this. And God is not finished. This is only the beginning. Look to your neighbor and say, this is only the beginning. Praise God. I'm going to give my farewell message here in a moment. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Forever Free Ministries. That name, Forever Free Ministries, flows out of you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Set you free. I started preaching in 1979. That dates me a little bit. That's when we first gave our first crusade, our first seminar. And over the years, God has helped us to do 150 of these kind of crusades all over North America. And I've never been more excited about reaching the world for Christ. We continue to travel here and there, but a lot of time we're spending it at home and doing broadcasts to the world. The Lord has blessed us with our Amazing Prophecies YouTube channel that has 32 million views and almost 400,000 subscribers. It's a real global ministry so that when I'm sleeping, I'm still preaching. And when things are going with tribulation, I'm still preaching. No matter what we go through, I'm still preaching. And I'm so thankful that people around the world are responding. The people are reaching out to us by texting, by phone calling, by emailing, by mailing. People keep in touch with us. And they tell us, this channel has changed my life. What you have been witnessing here is replicated around the world. A matter of fact, Mary Gomez. How many have ever met Mary Gomez? Mary Gomez is the reason why we did this crusade. She was here for a while. I don't think it was really a long while, but she was here. I wish we could get her on the line over the phone or whatever or say hello to everybody. But Mary Gomez was here for a while, but it was our channel that she watched that helped her to make a decision to follow the truth. And she's been so excited about it that she began to share with Pastor Vasily, began to share with Elder Jim and the other church members and so forth about doing these series of meetings. And then, wouldn't you know, a niece of hers made a very sizable donation for these meetings to take place. It was the vision of one person. Now, I want you to think about that. Think of this whole meeting, the result of one person. She's probably around 70-ish or something like that. I got to be careful about guessing and so forth. But she was the one that had the dream. But the church and the pastor embraced the dream. Would you agree to make a dream work? You need teamwork. And so she called us and she told us, I'm trying to work it out that you can come and hold a crusade here in Lufkin. And we said, we'll pray about it. We prayed about it and the Lord impressed us. The Lord impressed you, dear people, to go ahead and hold this crusade. So I praise the Lord for what the Lord has done and how he's used people so much. Organization. Oh, you have Mary on the line. Mary. I don't know if you can see the audience. Everybody say hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Everybody say hi. Matter of fact, everybody stand up. Stand up, everybody. Everybody say hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Give a hand clap to Jesus. Mary, what would you like to share? Let's see. Can we hold on a second? We're going to turn up the volume. Please be seated. Okay. I'm going to put you on speaker. You say anything you want.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have, in my church in Berlin, we have been praying for you earnestly. And every update that I get that someone, that there's more people that's going to be baptized or this is going on, I put it in our prayer request. And we have been praying constantly. You guys look so beautiful. I miss the church there. I miss you guys. I love you. And I just praise God that Mark was able to work things out with the church and to be able to do this evangelistic meeting. It's beautiful. Amen. I'm just so excited. Amen. Amen is right. All right, that's enough. You're going to embarrass me.
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We love you, Mary. God bless you, my sister.
I love you guys, too. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here, no, seriously, it's fun. We'll be in touch. That was spontaneous. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it amazing with technology? You can be spontaneous. Who do you want to talk about tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is what we do full time. And I cannot tell you, like Mary Gomez and others like her, their hearts have been touched by the power of the gospel, the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. And so tomorrow night, Lord willing, we'll do another broadcast. And then we'll do another and another and another, hopefully until Jesus comes. I don't plan to retire. I just plan to keep preaching. Keep preaching. Everybody say, keep preaching. Keep preaching. Thank you for that encouragement. The ushers are going to place into your hand an envelope. We're not taking up an offering tonight, but I want to get into your hand an envelope. Maybe Eddie, you could help out there and a few others. You receive an envelope, and in this envelope, I thought I had mine on me here somewhere. In this envelope, you are able to see our address. If you want to give, you can give online. Our website, you can write our website down if you'd like to give online. It's called BibleProphecy.info. BibleProphecy.info. We have resources there for free that you can download. BibleProphecy.info. Let me just say this, that we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and it's people like you that believe in our ministry that stand with us. To make a dream work, you need teamwork. And I believe that if you feed the sheep will fund the feeding. Let me say that again. If you feed the sheep will fund the feeding. If you have been blessed, stand with us. We need your prayers and financial support, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. We have a staff. We have a staff in the Philippines, and we are constantly getting pictures from them of baptisms and so forth. And so it's thrilling of what God is doing with our evangelism there in the Philippines. We also have other staff that work with us. We have production costs and so forth. God wants us to expand. He wants us to grow. And for that, I'm asking that you would stand with us. You can become a monthly donor. We have Patreon as well. Whatever way you want. My wife is my accountant. And we also have a board of directors. And on our board of directors, there are two accountants. So we're really accounted for. But if you have anything financial that you want to talk about, you can talk to my wife. And like I say, if you want to do a reoccurring donation, whatever you want to do, just stand with us. We need your support. I will also say this, that I might be coming back here for a weekend. Pastor and I will be talking about that because when we leave, I leave part of my heart. So, I praise God for the privilege of sharing the gospel with you, dear people. I love you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to be faithful. I need your prayers. I will tell you this, that I'm constantly under attack. And there are serious attacks. But my Jesus is more powerful.
Amen.
I can testify that I stand before you, a man that is under attack 24/7. But I also can testify, as I'm sure the pastor can as well, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
So if you would remember my family and I to pray for us, my wife Hope, I always have Hope, and our children Caleb, who's 22. I wish you were able to meet him. He's in flight school, but Caleb is 22 years old, and our daughter Jordan. How many remember Jordan? She was with us for 2 weeks. 17 years old. She keeps reminding me she's going to be 18. She's been reminding me that for a long time. But anyway, please pray for our children. We want them to be close to Jesus, and they come under attack. I will tell you this, that pastors' children and evangelists' children come under serious attacks because the enemy knows that we're winning souls. And so that makes the devil really, really mad. So if I can just know that you all are praying for me, but not only myself, but pray for Pastor Vasily and his children and family and so forth, it's prayer. It's prayer. That's the key. It's the key to every problem, every trial, every dream, every goal, everything depends on pray.
Amen.
Pray, pray. So Father, guide us now as I give my final message. Did you want to say something in the name of Jesus? Did you want to say something? Or?
When you're through presenting the message,
okay.
I would like to.
Okay, sure. Let's go to Malachi. Let's go to Malachi. I'm going to have a shorter message here tonight, but you know, Paul, when he was preaching his farewell message in Acts 20, he preached till midnight. Not going to do that tonight. Malachi, just before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The title of my message is Elijah at Your Doorstep. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse. This is a prophecy that is grossly overlooked. This prophecy pertains to our day in a very significant, miraculous way. Elijah is to return, but it's not talking primarily about him returning in person. It's symbolic of the fact that the mission and the message of Elijah will be replayed in the last days before Jesus comes again. So if we're going to understand this promise and this prophecy, if we're going to understand how he returns in the last days just before the second coming of Jesus, we better go and see a dramatic story of Elijah in 1 Kings. Go there in the Old Testament. We're going to look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 16. And also 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll give you the setting. King Ahab married Jezebel. Was that a marriage by God or a marriage in hell? This was not a good marriage. Think about it. King Ahab, by the way, I bet you didn't name any of your daughters by the name Jezebel. Because Jezebel was notorious for doing something, misleading her husband and misleading the nation of Israel. Because what happened was Jezebel was a sun worshiper. And she worshiped different idols. And she persuaded her husband to go ahead and set up idols in Israel. So God's people were backslidden. God's people went astray. God's people began to worship idols and worship the sun and so forth. So they were astray. They went astray. And so we pick this story up in 1 Kings chapter 17. Matter of fact, let's get here verse number 31. Here we go, verse 30. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing to him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took a wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. What's the root there? Baal. Everybody say Baal. This false god. King of the Zidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. This was false worship. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundations with Ahiram, the firstborn, etc. But look at chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God. So this is Elijah confronting this wayward king and all the drama that would go with it. Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, here comes a declaration with a thunder, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Bombshell. This was a message of judgment. This was a message of urgency. This was a message of warning. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. I want you to notice God was basically saying, you made the king mad. Now I'll tell you where to hide out. Can you imagine that task? Can you imagine that mission to confront the king, tell him something that the king did not want to hear, made him irate, made him infuriated, made him mad, and in a rage, he couldn't pull off anything because before you knew it, Elijah was gone. And he was hiding in the brook Kerith. God told him where to hide out. Would you agree? When you stand up for Jesus and you follow Jesus, you got to let the chips fall where they may. You got to stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus wants us to do that. But notice there would be a hideout. God knew where he wanted this prophet to go to hide out. God provided. Can I say this? When you follow Jesus, God will always provide. Verse 4. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. In other words, I've got your meals all planned. Can you imagine that? Out in the wilderness, and God saying, I've got it all covered. I got the location. I've got the food for you to eat. You're going to be taken care of. And, oh, those people back there with King Ahab and Jezebel, they're going to have a famine for 3.5 long years. Meanwhile, Elijah is being taken care of. It pays to serve the Lord. Verse 5. So he went, and can you imagine, though? Can you imagine CNN, Anderson Cooper, coming by there, and he brings his whole media crew, the cameras, the lights, and so forth, and they come. They're going to be a big prime time special interviewing Elijah. Can you imagine? They come into how are you being fed out here? How are you surviving? Because there's a famine going on back at Israel. How are you able to survive? And then all of a sudden, the cameras pan, and they see some birds coming and bringing Elijah food. Can you imagine how the mouths would drop? And even that would really amaze Anderson Cooper. How many agree there is a God that watches over his people? And so it's a miracle. Every day God was working a miracle to provide for his faithful prophet Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. And so He went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So he was not just surviving, he was thriving. He was not losing weight out there in the wilderness. God had him covered. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Wait a minute, that's where he was drinking. You can't last long without water because there had been no rain in the land. But the Bible makes it very clear. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he had come to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And this was absolutely dramatic of what would take place. And so I want you to notice here now, chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, so this is the third year. And there's a famine going on. And now here comes a message. Go present yourself to, not him again. Go right back to Ahab, and I will send you rain on the earth. Sometimes in following God, it's not easy. He will give you tasks to speak to people that you would rather not be around. But you got to be faithful, amen? You got to be faithful. So Elijah went to present himself to mad Ahab. And there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. So God was providing his prophets. They had to go in hiding. And so I want you to notice, dropping down in verse number 15, then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Now let's just hit the pause button. I'm asking you, who was troubling Israel, Elijah or Ahab? Elijah was no pushover, because Elijah knew he was sent by God. He had boldness. He had confidence. He believed what he said. Do you believe what you say? How many agree? We need to believe in Jesus and be willing to speak it. Amen. And so Elijah, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken. Here's the Elijah mission. You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. So immediately he turns the table. He said, no, I haven't caused this trouble. You've called the trouble. How? Because you've led everybody to go against the Ten Commandments of God. What was the issue in the day of Elijah? Obedience or disobedience to the commandments of God. That was the center focus. That was at the center of all of this. God sent Elijah to lead God's people to make a decision. Are you going to go after Baal, or are you going to follow God and follow the commandments of God? So there was a test coming. Now therefore, Elijah said, gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Elijah says, let's have a showdown. I'll meet you at the OK Corral. No, that's not exactly what he said, but he said, I'll meet you on Mount Carmel. We will have a showdown test. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, 850 false prophets and just one true prophet that was there at this time. So the score is 850-1. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now watch this. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, okay, here he has an audience. Everybody's gathered together. Here comes Elijah's message. How long will you waver between two opinions? How long are you going to vacillate? How long are you going to waver? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They should have answered. They said, we choose God. That's what they should have said. But they were quiet. You know, there's a time to speak up and there's a time to be quiet. Would you agree? This was the time to speak up and say, we made up our mind. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow his commandments. We're going to be faithful to God. But they were quiet. You know why? Because they were cowards. They were afraid. Then Elijah said to the people, here's what he said. I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. That is on the altar and wood on top of it. But put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by what, everybody?
Fire.
Can't hear you.
Fire.
So Elijah's saying, all right, let's have a showdown. The test is, who is the true God who can bring fire? So Elijah said, I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered. Now they speak up. It is well spoken. In other words, they said, yeah, we'd like to see this test. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. So he's saying, you know, you guys are many. You go first. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it, he says. So his instructions were very clear. Don't cheat. How many agree you can't trust false prophets? So it's going to be a test of fire, and they could somehow concoct, get a fire going and fool everybody. So Elijah's saying, okay, guys, no cheating. Let's see if your God can come up with some fire. After all, you worship the sun. I think you can come up with a little bit of fire. And so put no fire under it. Verse 26. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called in the name of Baal from morning even till noon. That was a long religious service. Saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as were their custom, with their knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. They were enthusiastic. They really believed in what they were doing to the extent that they were willing to cut themselves. But as Elijah said, nobody answered, nobody heard, no one was paying attention. Maybe their God was sleeping. In other words, Elijah taunted them a little bit. And I don't think they wanted to hear that at all. Then Elijah, you know, so their voices are hoarse. They're wearing everybody out. Long religious service, blood everywhere. Crazy, crazy false prophets. Verse 30. Then, this is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, now he speaks up. Because he let them do their thing. He let their religious service be performed first. And now Elijah, the man that wasn't bleeding, the man that wasn't jumping up and down, the man that was humble. Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And what did he do? He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Down through time, the devil has attacked the commandments of God. Knocked down those commandments. Elijah would repair what the false prophets had knocked down. That was an altar of worship, and they knocked it down. The first thing that Elijah did is to have it repaired, to restore the altar of worship. Because the fire was going to come from God and consume the sacrifice that was on the altar of worship. That sacrifice represents Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate sacrifice. And the fire represents the presence of God. God gave the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the altar called Calvary. And so Elijah took 12 stones. 12 is a number associated with the church. There were 12 tribes in the Old Testament and 12 what in the New? 12 apostles, that's right. So 12 is a number symbolic of the church. So there is something about what happened there that would be a loud message to God's people, his church in the last days, his people in the last days. There's a call to repair the breach that has been in the Ten Commandments, and that breach is the Sabbath. The Sabbath has come under attack, and the Bible says in Isaiah 58, it's been trampled upon. And God, in these last days, has been repairing that altar of worship because the Sabbath is a day of worship. Amen? And so the false prophets down through time have trampled on many truths that were given to God's people down through time. You've heard of the Dark Ages, a time when the altar seemed to be in ruins. But in the last days, the Sabbath is being proclaimed, and that's the work of God. So Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made, watch this, it's rather curious, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Now, can you imagine having a camp out, church camp out, say, okay, it's time to build a fire. All right, we're going to build a fire. Okay, let's get all the wood, okay? Pour water on it. Is that how you do your camp out? Come on, young people, is that how you're going to do the camp out? Somebody might say, get that kerosene or whatever. Get the gas, whatever, get something to ignite. Yeah, don't get gas, that's all right. There's another way to start a fire. But I want you to notice here, Elijah is going this extra measure, I mean, to an extreme, so that nobody could accuse him as, yeah, you messed around. You were doing hocus pocus. Yeah, you got that fire going, but that wasn't from the God of heaven. He made sure that that wood was waterlogged. He made sure that there was water just drenching this sacrifice, drenching this altar and so forth, so that everybody could see that there was no sleight of hand. Can you say amen to that? No sleight of hand. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. The time of the evening sacrifice. Who was sacrificed around the time of the evening sacrifice? Jesus. Jesus. The time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham. So this is the prayer. This is a prayer, simple prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Do you see it? God was doing a heart work. Did you see it? Turning the hearts of the people back to God, back to the commandments of God, back to loyalty to God, back to being faithful and loyal to God. I want you to notice the message and mission of Elijah was to turn the hearts of the people back to God. That's the message of Elijah in the last days, because in the last days, people have gone astray from God's word. They've gone astray from the commandments. They've gone astray from the precepts of the word of God. And God is calling people back to his word, back to the full testimony of Genesis to Revelation. How many believe we need to get back to the whole Bible, every Old Testament and the New Testament? Amen. Then the fire of the Lord, look at this, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Nothing was left. Our God is a consuming fire. Can you say amen? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing this prophet up there speaking to the people and then praying, and then all of a sudden, here comes the fire. Man, I would love that to happen in my crusades. That would make the newspapers. That would go viral. Would you agree? That would go viral. That would maybe one day. But anyway, can you imagine the fire coming down in answer to Elijah's prayer? The fire came down and just didn't just kind of, you know, burn a little bit here. It consumed everything. Everything just left probably a cavity in the earth from where once stood the altar. What an amazing miracle. So what is God wanting to do in your life? To consume the sacrifice of yourself. What does God want to do? He wants us to lay ourselves on the altar of sacrifice, saying, Lord, I sacrifice myself for you. And then we are filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know what's interesting? Elijah was in hiding for 3.5 years, and then he came out with a final message of mercy. After 3.5 years of public ministry, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus gave the final appeal. 3.5 years. Do you think that's a coincidence? No, it was done on purpose, because the work of Elijah was also done by John the Baptist and by Jesus himself. No wonder Elijah would show up on the Mount of Transfiguration to talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross, it was just days later that then the rain would fall. The rain of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost after that 3.5 year period. Can you see the parallel, friends? Can you see the parallel? And to apply it to our day, God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit. He wants to consume our heart and our mind so that we're totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I want you to notice this. Back to the scriptures. Here we go. And then it says here in verse 39, now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You know, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at that time, this is the one time and only one time that everybody is gathered together in the New Jerusalem or outside the New Jerusalem. And every knee on the inside of New Jerusalem, which is you and I by the grace of God, are going to bow before Jesus. And even the devil outside the New Jerusalem with all of the wicked, they're all going to kneel down. And everybody's going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Then, friends, I say this. Every day, get on your face before God. Call upon God to have mercy upon you and mercy on your family. Get down low before God so that God can exalt you. Humble yourselves, and he said in due time he would lift us up. If you want to be lifted up and have more confidence, have more faith, you got to sink very low at the foot of the cross. That's what they did. The people's hearts were touched so much so that there at the altar sacrifice that was all consumed, that's where they bowed down low and committed their life to God. So at Calvary, that's where, and I'm thankful that Ben and the musicians were able to play and sing about near the cross. Would you agree? Everything we need is in the cross. Why should you get out of bed? Jesus died for you. Why should you work for Jesus? Jesus died for you. Why should you have a song in your heart? Jesus died for you. Why should you look forward to being with Jesus in heaven forever? Because he died for you. Everything good flows out of Calvary. Verse 40. And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. And that's what God's going to do one day. All of the wicked are going to be destroyed at the end of the millennium. Now watch this, because this story is not done yet, not quite. Now for the rest of the story. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." It had not rained for 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a famine in the land for 3.5 years? Now here, it rains a lot. But can you imagine no rain for 3.5 years? So that's what happened. Crops withered, people starving. Who knows how many died during this time period? So there was that showdown, and the fire consumed the sacrifice. The center, I repeat, was the altar of worship and the sacrifice. So after that happened, the fire came. Now it was time for the rain to fall. And watch how this happened. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." Now wait a minute. Was it raining right then and there? Was there anyone else that heard the sound of abundance of rain? No. He said this by faith, because he was being led by God what to do. You know, sometimes when you say things and you act a certain way and you do a certain thing and you do it in faith, people around you might say, "What are you, crazy? Crazy that you believe in answers to prayer? Crazy that you believe in miracles? I'd rather be crazy and know that my God lives every single day working miracles in my life." So I want you to notice this. Elijah's saying, "I hear what's coming, and it's as good as here. I hear it." Would you agree? When you come before Jesus and you fall on your face before him and you seek him with all your heart, you can begin to declare a thing. You know what the Bible says in Job 22? That when you have faith in God, you can declare a thing. Very interesting terminology. Declare a thing. Do you know that every day we should be declaring that God is good? We should be declaring God is answering prayers. Declare. Would you agree? Our mouth is to be used by God. Okay, you just let the Lord use your mouth. You know, it's really funny because sometimes people are quiet in church. But those same people watching the Cowboys play, oh man, they are animated. I say God is worthy of us opening our lips and praising him. So Elijah's saying, "I hear something that nobody else hears. I hear rain, the abundance, not just a little drizzle. Not just a little flash of rain. No, no, no. Sound of abundance of rain." Did they need rain? Oh, yeah. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Now watch this. I can hear rain. I hear abundance of rain. It's coming. I hear it. You go ahead and eat. And the prophet goes down on his face again, face between his knees, down there. You know, we think about the miracles of Elijah. How about the prayer life of Elijah? We think about all that Elijah accomplished. How about prayer? Would you agree? He only did this by prayer and commitment to God. Amen? Verse 43. and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Can you picture this? Elijah is prostrate before God. He's praying. He dispatches his servant. Go see if there's any rain. So the servant goes, scans the horizon, pans the horizon. There's nothing. Sorry, master, there is nothing. Go back. Goes back and forth, seven times. What's the prophet doing during this time? Praying. If you want to see great things happen in your life, you have to pray and keep praying. And sometimes you have to keep repeating yourself over and over and over. Now, don't get me wrong. This was not vain repetitions. Sometimes people think the more you talk, no. If it's from the heart. Did Jesus repeat himself three times in Gethsemane? Yes, he did. It was not vain repetitions. This was from the heart. Sometimes when you pray, you're going to be like Elijah. You're repeating yourself, but it's in your heart. I cannot tell you how I pray frequently and repeatedly, like a broken record, praying for my children. Constantly. Lord, be with Caleb. Lord, be with Jordan today. Please bless them. And of course, I pray for my precious sweetheart as well. Pray for my mom and so forth. And so I keep praying. I keep looking, scanning to see answers to prayer. How many agree? If you pray, you need to look for answers. How many have loved ones that you're praying and praying and praying? Keep on. Look to your neighbor and say, keep on praying. That's what Elijah did. Elijah knew one thing. God is the one who can do things. Elijah never boasted, watch this, watch what I can do. No, he knew it was God. So when you think of miracles, think about your prayer life. That's the most important thing, because prayer is a solution to every single problem. Got problems in the marriage? Prayer is the answer. You got problems with your finances? Prayer is the answer. Troubles with your health? Prayer is the answer. You want your children to follow God? Prayer is the answer. You want your grandchildren to follow the Lord, or great-grandchildren? Every single need we have, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud. Watch this. There is a cloud as small as a man's hand. In other words, nothing to get excited about unless you're Elijah. There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising up out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Here's Elijah again. He's praying. He's exercising faith. The servant comes. I see a little bit of a sign, not sure what to make of it. I see a little cloud. Watch this. I see a cloud. As small, everybody say small. Small as a man's hand. That's all I can see. Most people would say nothing to get excited about. Keep going. No, Elijah said, that's enough. That's the answer coming my way. This is a miracle. It's coming. Go tell Ahab, you better get going, because there's rain that's going to stop you unless you move on. Hallelujah. So prepare yourself, your chariot, and go down before the rain stops. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You know what? It's energizing working for God. It's energizing. I will tell you this, that yes, in some ways I get tired and so forth, but I get energized. Are you not energized tonight to see what God is doing? The fire has fallen. The rain has descended. There is healing in this house. There is restoration in this place. I wonder tonight, do you need a miracle? Do you need a miracle in your life? I bet you if you're like me, you need more than one miracle. There are many miracles you need to see. I say this from my heart to your heart. Don't give up your dream. Don't give up your praying. As you're praying and praying and praying, pray with faith. And let your lips declare that you believe the answers are coming. You must not allow your lips to go against your prayer. When you pray, and I say this in closing, when you pray, it is so important that then you begin to talk big. You begin to talk faith. Oh, you can talk about small things as well. But declare it. Let people know when you're coming to people, let them be thinking, not, oh, here comes that doubter. Oh, here comes something negative. No, let it be when people see you coming, oh, here comes a miracle. Here comes a prayer warrior. Here comes somebody that believes in what they believe in. Come on now. We need to talk our faith morning, noon, and night, talking to God, how we trust Him, how we believe in Him, talking to friends around us, I believe, I'm trusting in the Lord. Declare it. Declare a thing. That is my farewell challenge to you and myself. Go ahead and declare your miracles. Go ahead and declare that God is going to do something beyond what you ever imagined. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, to Him be glory in the church, world without end. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Do you believe it tonight? So I'm here to tell you. I'm going to go home tomorrow morning and my heart is full because I know the Lord has showed up. And I know that the same God who's done marvelous things for these 3 weeks will continue to do great things in the Lufkin Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Amen.
So I wonder here tonight, are you willing to work for God like Elijah?
Amen.
Are you willing to take a stand with Jesus like Elijah?
Amen.
Elijah's message is very clear. Elijah said, how long are you going to waver? How long are you going to waver between the commandments of God and worldly idols? How long are you going to waver? That's the message that I bring to you tonight. How long are you going to go between the world and the Word? How long are you going to waver? You say, Mark, I'm almost fully surrendered to the Lord. Almost. How long are you going to waver? Let Jesus have full control of your life. Let Him be Lord. Let Jesus be Lord of all, everything about you, mind, body, soul, time, money, energy, talents, whatever. Let Jesus be Lord of all. Make your life count. Begin to talk faith. Pray in faith. Believe in faith. Take God at His word. There are thousands of promises in these covers, between these covers. Thousands. Those promises are for everyone who's willing to meet the conditions. You know what the condition is? That you feel your need and you're willing to believe. Must be willing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. You want faith? Romans 10, 17. You want more faith? Get into the Word. You want to have a stronger prayer life? Get into the Word. You want a really good prayer life? Read Psalms. It's a collection of prayers and praise and songs and so forth. You want to get close to Jesus? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Every day, fall in love with Jesus. And the power of God will come upon you. And God will speak through you. And people will see your face and say, something's going on with you. I'm in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we kneel? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my Father, hallelujah. Praise be to You, dear Lord. for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do for each one of us if we're willing to get into your word and to believe your word, believe your promises, and to talk faith. I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch every heart here tonight. Consume our heart. Cleanse our heart. And baptize us with the water of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would bless all of us here. Be with Pastor Vasily in a very special way. Guide him, dear Lord, and his family. I pray that you would be with Elder Jim, Francis, and all of the leaders, Eddie and his wife, and Rick and his wife, and just thank you for the team, dear Lord. Thank you for Ben helping out with the music as well. And Lord, I thank you that we are your body, the body of Christ. We are the bride. We're the wife of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to put on the robe of your righteousness and to live for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.